No one wants to think about their own death, but for our next guest, the spread of the coronavirus across the globe and into our own communities is making her do it. Journalist and author Terry Green Sterling is the writer in residence at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication at ASU. And in a new op-ed for the Arizona Republic, she has some advice for others who may be in the at-risk group for COVID-19. Fill out your advance directive.
I grew up on an Arizona cattle ranch, really far away from the nearest town. The nearest town was Prescott, and it was 50 miles away on this really primitive dirt road. So apparently, I don't remember this, but apparently I got the flu, and the complication of the flu for children and for adults, and for everyone really, is pneumonia. That's a key mm-hmm. complication. So when I was three, my parents drove me down the hill to Phoenix, and I was hospitalized in the children's ward of a Phoenix hospital. And my only memory of it is that the child in the bed next to me died of pneumonia. And I remember my mother crying about it, and I didn't know why she was crying. Mm-hmm. But the importance of this story is that this hospitalization for pneumonia at 3 years old very likely kickstarted a lung condition that I live with today at the age of 71.
So this puts you sort of in that at-risk category of people who are at higher risk for complications as we're talking about the coronavirus spread.
Right, exactly. So I have a lung condition and I'm 71, although I certainly don't feel it. And so that puts me at high risk, and that got me to thinking about what would happen if I had to go to the hospital, and what would happen if I were put on a ventilator and I died alone in an ICU on a ventilator. And that gave me pause.
Yeah. So you did something about it. You had to do something that lots of people probably don't want to do, and they probably you didn't want to do, which is think about your own death, right?
Right. So none of us want to think about dying. It's not something that we do, but I began to think, okay, I've got a 3% to 11% chance of getting really seriously ill and dying from COVID-19 or the coronavirus. So I decided that I did not want a doctor putting me on a ventilator if I had no chance of living. And I didn't want a doctor pulling me off a ventilator either. I wanted to make that decision on my own. So I filled out a very detailed advance directive that would make my death decisions my own, not put them in the hands of someone else. Now, of course, you know, we don't know how we're going to die, but this is trying to control the circumstances of one's death as much as is humanly possible.
Right. So tell us more about what this advance directive is. Where does it go once you fill it out? And what kinds of things do you have to think about, consider when you are filling it out?
So in Arizona, it's fairly easy to fill out an advance directive. Every state has its own laws regarding end-of-life wishes. And an advance directive is really a legal document that spells out how you want your end of your life to play out. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I think is important that I found out was that the Arizona Attorney General's office has a whole toolkit on end-of-life wishes and end-of-life plans. And you can get a form, download a form from the Arizona Attorney General's office website, as well as the toolkit. And you can also, once that is done, you have to really think about some very tough questions and discuss them with others. Among them, you want to know who you want to make your healthcare decisions when you can't. And you have to spell out what you deem is a good quality of life. Everybody has a different idea of that.
Yeah.
You also, when do you want life support and when do you not want life support? And how do you feel about having comfort care? What do you want done with your body after you die? These are all, they sound like sort of grisly questions,
yeah.
But they, you know, why leave them up Why leave them up to your kids or your loved ones? Why not take care of it yourself? You're the one who should have control of these things, and spare a harried emergency room doctor from making sort of the end of life medical decisions that really are yours to make. Very often, people who are in distress, who are rushing off to the hospital, and their caregivers who have their medical power of attorney may not find the advance directive. They may lose it. They may not be able to find it. So it's a really good idea to upload your advance directory to the Arizona Secretary of State's office. They have a advance directive registry. And then if you can't find yours, it's always in the registry and healthcare professionals can access it there.
Mm-hmm. So like you say, these are grisly questions. This is not fun to think about, especially given the circumstances right now. How did it make you feel to run these scenarios through your mind to make these tough decisions? Was it liberating in a way, or was it just, did it just make you sad?
Well, I mean, we're all going to die, right? And we might as well face up to that. It was not fun to answer questions about when I wanted dialysis and when I wanted intubation and when I didn't. It was not fun to face up to it. But on the other hand, once I filled out the form, it was done. And I'd always planned on doing it. So, you know, now I had it done and now I could go on with the business of living and living well.
Terry Green-Sterling is a journalist and author and the writer-in-residence at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication at ASU. Terry, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you so much.